When was the last time you had a stimulating, deep, and absorbing discussion with somebody about holiness? When was the last time you heard a sermon on holiness? When was the last time you sat in a Bible class just devoted to holiness? Holiness is a neglected topic, but it's an important one to be sure. Of all the qualities, all of the attributes of God, holiness is the only one to be three-peated. Holy, holy, holy. And it is so both in the Old Testament, Isaiah 6 verse 3, and in the New Testament, Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8. I'm absolutely convinced that holiness has gotten a bad rap. Holiness has gotten a bad reputation in recent years. Holiness has been terribly misunderstood and been twisted from its proper biblical meaning. As a matter of fact, the word holy is not necessarily a positive expression with a lot of people in the world nowadays. One of the ways that holiness is misconstrued and twisted is the holier-than-thou attitude, where one can look down their spiritual nose at somebody else and say, I'm bigger and I am better than you are on the totem pole or the ladder of spirituality. Sometimes people think about holy and they think about monks or people who have reverse collars. Are people who live an isolated, depriving themselves type of existence. Those people are holy. Sometimes people misunderstand holiness and they think of it this way. Just keep all the rules and regulations. That's what holiness is. If you can just somehow keep the rules and regulations. And sometimes people think about holiness and they just get terribly frustrated because it seems like it is a long list of things to do or not do, and we feel doomed to failure. We can never really be holy. I want to define holiness, and then I want us to go to the book of 1 Peter. Holiness, if I could define the expression in one word, holiness is Christ-likeness. Christ being formed in us, Galatians 4:19. Being conformed to the image of God's dear Son, Romans 8:29. So in one word, Christ-likeness, but let me simplify that, but use two words, like Christ. Holiness equals like Christ. Like Christ in our words. Let no corrupt, unholy speech proceed out of your mouth, but such as is useful to building up. Ephesians 4:29. Like Christ, Christ-like in word, Christ-like in behavior or action. He went about doing good. Acts 10:38. Christ-like in thought, bring every thought captive to Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:4 through 6. Christ-like in motive, humble, loving, serving. Being holy in motive, holy in thought, holy in word, and holy in action. That can be overwhelming, can it? But we need to understand that holiness is a process. In coming to Jesus, our sins are washed away and we are made pure, made holy, forgiven, cleansed, Revelation 1 and verse 5. But as we live in Jesus, He offers us help for becoming more holy, for perfecting holiness. 2 Corinthians 7:1. So holiness is to be Christ-like, to be like Him. And there will always be, to some degree, the need to become more like Him as long as we live. Isn't that true? More holiness, give me, is the word of one of our songs in the songbook, one of our hymns, and it's a true statement. If you were to look at the word holiness, and it occurs literally hundreds of times in Scripture, holiness has to do with to be separate because we are dedicated to God. Called out of the world, 2 Thessalonians 2:13 and 14, because we're dedicated to God, Romans 12, 1 and 2. And lest we get the wrong impression about holiness and think that it all depends on us as Christians, ladies, sometimes you wake up and you are having a bad day. You know it's going to be one of those days. You put on your makeup. You get ready. And even though you may look outwardly beautiful, there's just something missing inside because it's a tough day. You know what I'm talking about? And somebody says, "You don't look so good. You don't look so good." Holiness is a matter of internal transformation. It is an inside-out job. And so very often we think simply by doing things and applying the makeup outwardly and doing the right things, it's going to be okay. But according to Scripture, it's an inside-out job. And we need to keep that in mind. Holiness is something that has to do with purity and morality because of a relationship that we have with God. 1 John 4, verses 9 and 10. He gave Himself for us. Now, 1 Peter was written to people who were suffering. The initial readers of the book were hurting. But what Peter does is deal with the privilege of holiness. If something is a privilege, we think of it as a blessing. We think of it as wonderful. We think of it as a great, great thing. Is that how you think of holiness? Or is it just another thing on the to-do list? Let's look at 1 Peter together as Peter speaks of the privilege of holiness. And I want us to focus on seven. Seven privileges of holiness based on this book that I think are going to be really helpful to us. To help us see more about the importance and priority of holiness. Got Fidel and Elizabeth Casada here today. Great to see you guys. I see that you are here with Etika, and you look like a very indulgent couple of your grandson. Good to see you. Fidel was one of our elders for many years, and we love and appreciate the Casadas. Holiness is a privilege because God is holy, first of all. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, and look at verses 15 and 16. Holiness is not some optional extra to be sort of passively one of the things we're engaged in as Christians. The Bible says, be holy. That's an obligation. That's a responsibility. Because of the relationship that we have with God, because Jesus makes it possible for us to be free and cleansed and separate for God and to have real freedom. Because sin's been removed, be holy. Who's likened to you glorious in holiness? Exodus 15, verse 11. There's none as holy as the Lord. 1 Samuel 2 and verse 2. Holy and reverend is God's name. Psalm 111, verse 9. He is the Holy One of God. Habakkuk 1:12, Mark 1 and verse 24. It is a privilege to be holy because God is. And as His creation, as people who love Him, we want to be like Him. Facebook is an interesting phenomenon. My daughter-in-law, Brianne, has been contacted by the people at Facebook because she has more photographs than anybody in the world on her Facebook. Thing is, all of those pictures are precious to Brianne because there are people and circumstances and events that mean a lot to her. And when I asked Fidel for a picture of his grandson, he's got one, I'll guarantee you. Why? Because the image in that photograph has a lot to do with a relationship and circumstances that are really precious. Jesus said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." John 14, verses 8 and 9. I'm like a photograph of God and what He's like. I am God. And then the Bible says in Colossians 1:27 of Christians, Christ in you, the hope of glory. To see Jesus is to see God and what God's like. And to see a Christian is to see Jesus and what Jesus is like. It is a privilege to be God's child. It's a privilege to be holy. Number two. Look again at 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16. Be holy even as He who called you is holy. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, reference is made to holiness. You look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, reference is made to a holy priesthood first and then to a holy nation. You look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 5, Sarah, Abraham's wife, is described as a holy woman. She was separate and dedicated and pure because of a relationship she had with God. It's a privilege to be holy because it's God's stated purpose for every Christian. It is God's stated purpose for every Christian. Dale, be holy. Michael, be holy. Jerry, be holy. Hey, Josh, you're looking at them. Look at you. Be holy. He's talking to us, isn't he? If we belong to Jesus, it is God's stated purpose for each of us to desire to be holy. And to look at it this way, Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy, with no hypocrisy, no play acting. You're real, you're authentic, you're genuine, and you abhor, you hate what is evil and cling to what's good. And as a Christian, I want more of that in my life. Because it's God's stated purpose for me as His child. To speak, to act, to think, and to be motivated to be like Jesus. That's a privilege. And I want to say this, and I want us all to think about it. How seriously do you take God's stated purpose for you? To be holy. In your words, your actions, your thoughts, your motives. To be like Him. As Christians, this is an area where a lot more thought should be given. Don't you agree? How seriously do I take God's stated purpose for me as His child, to be holy. As a matter of fact, often when we talk about Christians, what do we talk about? We talk about, well, be a servant, be loving, be kind, be forgiving. I have no problem with any and all of these answers that could be given, provided they find a good basis in Scripture. However, if you're really going to lump them all under one term, be holy. That we love without hypocrisy, and that we abhor, we hate evil, and we want to hold on to what's good. Now, sometimes I personally have a problem there, don't you? Sometimes I want to hold on to something that's not so good, and I run away from things that are really good and holy. And sometimes my love is not pure and genuine and real and authentic. And it's then that I realize that that's God's stated purpose for me, to be holy. And I need to look to Him and repent. Number three. Privilege number three of holiness. Holiness is a privilege because Jesus died for us to be holy. The Lord knows them that are His. Let everyone that names the name of the Lord depart from evil. 2 Timothy 2:19. Holiness is not a condition into which we drift. We need to be more intentional and thoughtful about it. Looking to God, trusting in Him, and desiring to grow more like Him. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, 18 and 19. You were redeemed, bought, paid for, made right, bought with a price that is incorruptible. See that? Not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb. Go over one chapter, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. Holiness is a privilege because He died to make us holy. It's got to be important to God. Ephesians 1:4 says we were chosen to be holy. But you look here at 1 Peter 2:24. He bore what? Our sins. In His body upon the tree. He had no sin of His own to bear. He bore ours. Chapter 3. Look at verse 18. The cross of Jesus is held up by Peter as a compelling, powerful motivation to desire to be holy. You see, in the cross, Jesus deals with the guilt and penalty of sin as we are initiated in Christ when we come to Jesus in faith and repentance and baptism, responding to the grace of God. But as Christians, God promises the power of the cross and the resurrection can be made available in our lives as we trust God and lean on His Word to deal with sin. Sin's pretty powerful, isn't it? I've said a number of times from the pulpit, sometimes it'd be the best thing for some of us if we died as soon as we came out of the waters of baptism. If you died then and there, cleansed. Because I'm still tempted as a Christian, aren't you? I still am tempted to say, to do, to think, and to be motivated by things that are impure, ungodly, unholy. Now, 1 Peter 3:18 says, He died for what? He died that He might what? Bring us to God. The just for the unjust, the righteous for the unrighteous, that He might bring us to God. Privilege four. Holiness is a privilege because of the effect it can have on others. Holiness is a privilege because of the positive effect it can have on others. If you look at 1 Peter, there's a lot of discussion about relationships in 1 Peter chapter 2, relationships with the government. In 1 Peter chapter 3, husband-wife relations. Relations with brethren. When times are tough, in chapter 4, how to live. But throughout Peter, there's this emphasis in 1 Peter about they think that it's strange that you don't live the way you used to, your vain manner of life before becoming Christians. The Scripture says that our desire for holiness has an impact on others. Now stop and think about that. For a person to be like Jesus, Christ-like, separate from the world, dedicated to Him, seeking to be clean and pure because of a relationship with God Almighty through Jesus. That'll have a great influence on a marriage, don't you think? That'll have a wonderful influence on a family, don't you think? That will have a profound influence on friends and co-workers and classmates and even acquaintances. And here's something we don't talk enough about, either in terms of evangelism or encouragement. What people need is your holiness. They don't just need a kind word. They don't just need a card. Those things have their place. They don't just need a visit. They need to see that you're Christ-like. I want to say a word about our young people. A number of our young people have gone to the Austin area to a youth activity there. I just got in late last night from being on that program. About 150 young people were there. We have an exceptional group of young people at Westside. I think it would be hard to find better hearts than those among our young people. And what I see in them, and by the way, the respect that they show to others, the kindness, the spirit of Jesus. There's about 8 of them that will be coming back later this evening that made that trip, and some are here in the assembly, some of our young people. But we have wonderful people who are young. And what really makes them special is I think that they're sincere about being like Christ. That has an impact on others. That has an impact on their friends, their classmates, on a lot of people. It made an impression on me just being with them for the last 72 hours. What number are we on? 5? Is that correct? Holiness is a privilege because we better know God's love and joy. Look at 1 Peter 1, 6 through 9. Written to suffering Christians, Peter writes that you might have inexpressible joy. Why? Because people who want to be like Jesus will be like Jesus. And they're going to be devoted to that no matter what the circumstances. Won't be dragged down. Oh, to be like Jesus. In your presence is fullness of joy. Psalm 16, 11. God is our exceeding joy. Psalm 43, verse 4. Even when persecuted for righteousness' sake, rejoice. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 19. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Let him rejoice. Verse 16. Six. Holiness is a privilege. Look at the book. Because it reminds us that the real enemy is Satan, sin, and pride. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. The real enemy is Satan, sin, and pride. Verse 5, Peter says, be clothed with what? Humility. To be humble. I suspect that as he wrote those words through the Spirit, his mind went back to just before Jesus was taken away to be crucified. What did Peter say at that time? He said, I'll never deny you, right? He said, I'll die for you. Is Peter sincere? But Peter's also wrong, isn't he? He denies Jesus, the rooster crows. He weeps bitterly. A proud moment by Peter. Really a shameful moment. The need for humility. Have you ever spoken and not lived up to your words? By the way, as it concerns holiness, when I talk to people in the church, sometimes we don't get it because out in the world we think of those terrible sins like being a pedophile or being a young man that walks into the dark night movie theater in Aurora, Colorado and blasting away at people. We think of murder and things like that. But isn't sin in all of its forms unholy? Is gossip unholy? Is being harsh and critical and judgmental unholy? Is being proud unholy? Is it? Is having a bad temper unholy? Is being impatient unholy? Is secretly looking at porn unholy? You know what? The devil has done his job well because some sins are wholly acceptable to the world and to much of the church. And some sins the world still sees as heinous. You know what, Brother Hartness? You're just sitting there. I'm going to pick on you. The devil never looks at you and says, Wilbur Hartness, nearly 90, I just want you to know I hate your guts and I want to tempt you and I want you to go straight to hell. Does the devil ever do that to you? He never does that. Because the temptation is always clothed in some icing that is alluring. Doesn't he? The real enemy is Satan and sin and pride. Those are the real enemies of holiness because unholy Satan, unholy sin, unholy pride on the throne instead of God. Lastly, number 7, holiness is a privilege. Because heaven will be a place of utter holiness. Heaven will be a place of complete and perfect holiness. Where is our inheritance according to 1 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4? That incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away inheritance. It is reserved in heaven for you. What about that? To read the book of Revelation is to see that heaven is a place where there will be nothing that is defiled. Revelation 21:27. Nothing unclean or unholy. For those in this assembly who've not responded to Jesus Christ and what He's done at the cross in faith and love, in repentance and baptism, you need to, because He died to make people holy. And for those of us who are Christians, our prayer ought to be, more holiness give me. Because anything that will make us more like Jesus is really what we desire.